Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Frank Film Club. I'm Maisie Williams and I'm an actor and producer.
I'm Larry Roberts and I'm a producer and filmmaker.
I'm Hannah Marie Williams and I'm a casting director.
And welcome to our club. Hello everyone and welcome back to Frank Film Club. Today we are going to be speaking about Bones and All, which came out last year. It premiered at Venice Film Festival. It is directed by Luca Guadagnino and it was written by David Kajanik. It stars Taylor Russell and Timothy Chalamet, who are... but before we get into the movie, girls, not girls, ladies, women, powerful people. Hannah, what have you been up to? Because I know what you've been up to.
Well, mine's boring, though, compared to yours. Actually, no, it's actually been quite fun. I've been cast in my first musical. Which has been fun, not as fun as what you've been up to, but it has been fun.
That Welsh language. Brilliant.
Welsh language musical. Do you know what's going on? Don't speak Welsh.
Still working on Duolingo.
Still on my streak on Duolingo. No, I'm joking. I do know what's going on. And the passion, emotion, voices that I've heard has been earth-shattering and heartbreaking and beautiful. And it's been really, really nice.
That sounds fantastic.
But enough about me. What have you two been up to?
Well, go on, Larry, spill.
We've just got back from Sundance in Utah, America. It was my first time in America, which is very, very exciting.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
It was wicked.
Yeah, it was bloody fantastic.
Felt very grown up.
How fun?
So much fun.
So much fun.
That's how much fun.
Great chat. I really think the film festivals are like the new music festival for me because I can't do music festivals anymore. I'm too old.
You're not too old.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But I do love a film festival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do them both.
Okay. Yeah. One of the other.
Love it.
I would love to do South by Southwest because it's both.
Oh, yeah,
it actually is. Yeah.
Okay, great. That's one that we can do.
Yeah. Coming up soon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it?
It is.
April. Nice.
So today we're chatting about Bones and All and I'm very, very excited. I just really wanted us to do this movie as soon as I watched the trailer for it and knew it was coming out. So I'm really glad that you guys said yes. Just to recap, starring Taylor Russell, sensational. Also, Timothy Chalamet features... Chloe Savini and Mark Rylance. The film came out last year. It is... I don't know what genre I'm going to box it into. I feel like we should talk about that. So before I just blather on anymore and say anything uninteresting, I want to know what were your initial thoughts watching this movie?
So... my viewing experience was really interesting and I want to know how, because I think you saw it together, right?
We watched it together.
Yeah, yeah.
In the cinema?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where to?
London. Greenwich. Odeon.
And was
large.
Was it busy? Was there anyone in the...
No, not really. It wasn't very busy.
It's quite quiet.
Yeah. There was no one in the cinema.
Just you?
Yeah. And Waz.
Nice.
Just us two.
Oh my God.
But I'm really glad because I'm really grateful when the cinema is empty or there's no one behind me when I'm watching a film club film because I like to make notes as I'm going along and you can't really do that
so true.
In a full cinema. So that was great. But also for the other reason that I was screaming. I was being hooting and hollering so loud. So I'm really glad no one else was in there because it was like as loud as what I was like in Triangle of Sadness. Like I had like such a reaction to the first bit, especially, and then I got desensitized and I was like, yeah, cool. That's like just an image that I'm used to now. People eating people. And also the viewing experience was really interesting because the sound cut out in the last scene. And I'm obviously jumping ahead and I want to know what happens in the last scene because the sound cut out and I thought it was a creative choice because it was towards the end. So we can, yeah.
We'll get there. Okay,
we'll get there.
Oh, interesting.
Thoughts?
So I'd gone into the film not knowing anything about it, hadn't watched a trailer, hadn't read anything, not even a synopsis. I'd like literally just seen that it was Timothy, Taylor, looking a bit in love in one image. And then in my mind, I think I'd made up that it was just like a nice, like, romantic drama. So yeah, I know.
I think also you said maybe you thought it was going to be a comedy.
Yeah, like just thought it was going to be like a gritty, like it's just like Timmy, you know? Anyway, then when she's like starts sniffing, the girl that she's next to starts sniffing her hand. I was like, oh, right, okay. So maybe she's like fancies this girl. And then when she bites this girl's finger, I was like, oh! What am I watching? And I looked to the side and Maisie's there just like...
Yeah, she's loving it,
like,
obviously.
Loving it. And Ruben is on the other side of Maisie, who like obviously had kind of had the same experience as me, not knowing anything about the film. But we're both there just looking at each other like, oh, like, what is this film? I thought like this is not what we... And Maisie's just like...
Sat in the middle.
Yes, Larry.
Evil.
Yeah.
No, well, I sort of knew. It's happened with all of us. We all didn't know what really to expect from the movie. Like, how do you think that changed your viewing experience?
I wasn't shocked because I it wasn't a shock, but it was shocking, like the content. But I knew what was coming. I think in the trailer, or at least one of the trailers, there is a... he's whacking someone and there's blood spurting. Ah. So there is some gore in the trailer, I think. Mm-hmm. So I was sort of expecting it, but I wasn't expecting what it actually was.
I'm actually really glad that I didn't know anything about it.
That's true, because you're not... Yeah.
Yeah, because I think I would have just like made up so much in my head of what it might be, which I already did, but in the very like wrong way. And I think part of the enjoyment of the film was the fact that I was like, oh my God, this is so mad. And kind of, I loved getting my head around what was going on. So I'm glad I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
Did you? Were you like that? Or?
I feel like I knew they were going to be eating people. And so I was just so happy when she started eating a person, like in the first like 7 minutes of the film. Because I hate waiting for it. And then they were led down and I see her go like, and I was like, oh, she's going to eat her. Can't wait. And then as soon as she put her hand out, I was like, just bite her finger. Because I also love that movie Raw, and she bites off. I just think, I don't know why. I just live for it. I live for it.
Oh my God.
And she did. She bit off her finger. And then afterwards, when she comes home and her dad's there and he's like, you've done it again. You've done it again. I was thinking, oh, this is like, I don't know what's happening here. I don't know if she knows what's happening here. Like, I thought it was... There was all of that sort of to unpack that I thought was interesting because I had no idea.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good setup with the dad being like, you've done it again. It was suddenly like, oh. And then you just had so many more questions. You already had so many questions from her biting off someone's finger, which that image I cannot get out of my head, which is horrific. Mm. And then, the dad saying that and he knows that, you're like, oh... This is a thing.
I really like the way that they did catch you up on the pass with the headphones. I thought that was such a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Because then the way that, like, it was her dropping in and out of that without it feeling too cheesy, it was really, really well done. I like that.
Yeah.
The film is visually stunning to look at, despite it being kind of, like, really awful images that it's portraying throughout. How did you think that made the like film more or less palatable, or did you enjoy it because of that?
I like the choice of the word palatable.
Right.
I thought that this film, even from watching the trailer, it's like the birth of a new iconic aesthetic. Like, I'm going to see a lot of these shots in Dex.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's really beautifully shot. Like, reminded me a little bit, not at all in the way, but like you know, like Leon is quite violent and it's a young girl. I don't know, it just like, it just reminds me of that. I feel like we're going to see those shots a lot. Mm-hmm. I feel like that did make it a lot more palatable, but I feel like a lot of other things did as well, including the casting of Mark Rylance. I feel like that could have been a lot more creepy. And some of the music as well made it a lot more palatable.
That's so true. Yeah, he could have been terrifying, but actually you did kind of trust him a little bit.
Yeah, which like is kind of like, especially at the start, I was like, oh, I think he's just like a confused man that doesn't really, yeah, I kind of felt a little bit sorry for him. And then when he, like, as it goes further on, you're like, oh God. But I think that was what made that character more interesting, and because you didn't know where you stand with him or where she stands with him.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. But also do agree on the colours and like the orange, well, it was red, but it was like an orangey red, and I could feel like it was, yeah, it was very gorgeous to see.
Yeah. It makes me feel like, it made me feel like the whole movie is a metaphor for something, because it just didn't feel like it was trying to be a horror, but it also was doing all these really horrific things. It felt like there was something else that was happening, because we were getting these two feelings at once all the time, with the beautiful images, but then they're covered in blood, and then, like, you know, the vast landscapes and, like, the real nice pop music. And so it made me feel like, in interviews I've heard Timothy and Taylor speaking about being outcasts, and I thought maybe this could be a metaphor for like neurodiverse minds in like a kind of neurotypical society. But then as I was watching, they were talking about blood being like a high, and this is something that Ruben picked up on. He was like, maybe it's more addiction. What do you think the underbelly is trying to say?
Yeah, I got that sense as well, that it was outcasts of society, drifters, not feeling like they fit in anywhere, or being from really broken situations. What is it about? If they haven't said?
Well, I also kind of thought maybe it was like, outcasts of society, but then, and then it was like, yeah, maybe it is addiction, but then I was like, but these people—they've been born with it, and it's like a very, like they've done it since they were three. I was like, okay, I don't know that this is quite—that is quite what it's going to, like, tuning into. So then that was kind of in the end one of the problems that I have with the film a little bit, that I don't actually think—I'm not sure that it knew what it was alluding to. And I did have a little look at some other reviews as well, because I was like, am I just being stupid and not fully figuring this out? But I think a lot of people have said that. But then, or some people have just been like, well, no, it's outcasts. Which is like, yeah, fair enough. But it's not particularly new, if it is just that. But also, does it need to mean anything? Like, exactly?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
It's definitely a very new way of showing that sort of, like, outcast. But I agree. It didn't commit to any of them. And it's not like the filmmaker's job to do that, and it's like anyone can take what they want from it. But then it did really start to go into kind of like the vampire, can we always call them vampire, the eaters.
Like cannibals,
the cannibal.
Well, it was eaters. Is that what they were calling themselves?
Well, but that's the thing, because then there was like the groupie. I would say that he's a cannibal, but the other ones can't help it, so I don't know.
But then the groupie I found very interesting, because I think that does relate to people who maybe just like want to be a part of something that isn't entirely true to them.
And it was framed as a bad thing.
Yeah, which in this sense it definitely was. If you don't need to do that and you're like, I just want to get a closer look at you eating a person, that probably is quite a bad thing. But if it wasn't, no, maybe that is a bad thing anyway, in whatever it alludes to, like addiction as well. And people, like, that is an illness. And if people are actually really, really struggling, and then just to be like, I just do it for the thrill of it, even though you're, like, actually really struggling, maybe that's actually quite bad.
Is this based on a book?
It is. It's based on a book, which was a novel that came out in 2015, written by Camille DeAngelis.
And how, like, close to it is it?
That is a very good question. I don't know the answer to.
I wonder if there's more in the book, in the writing, that does, because obviously you're seeing the dialogue, maybe there's more written about that makes it connect a little bit more to like what maybe it is about.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, maybe it's just not about anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just about these new types of people.
Yeah.
It could be many things.
Yeah.
And I like that because I don't have the thirst for human blood. Mm. Or maybe I do. I don't know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That's really interesting to know that it is based on a book because I thought it was quite long and it didn't need to be as long as it was. But now that I know that it was based on a book, I'm like, ah, okay, maybe you were like trying to hold on to a few things that were in there that maybe could have been cut down. What did you two feel about the length of it?
What would you have cut? I got to say, I love this film. We're talking about like what it means and stuff. And I was like, I just had a really good time.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I would have cut out of it. It was quite long, wasn't it?
It was quite long.
2 hours 10.
I just didn't notice that time go by at all. For me, I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was well paced and I was just so captivated by Taylor Russell's character. What a unique performance, like so interesting that I just was in it and had like a hoot.
Good. Yeah, she is incredible. Yeah, actually. I hadn't seen her in anything before.
She's in Waves. She was also in a...
You've seen Waves.
Oh yeah, I have seen her in... Yeah.
She was also in a horror film that I can't remember the name of. Oopsie. But this is definitely like a real breakout role for her. And it was... Luca just wanted to cast her. I don't know what the casting process was like, whether she read... I imagine they would have done chemistry reads, but I think that he just was like, it's got to be Taylor Russell. And she said that it was the easiest yes of her entire existence. And she really just shone in this film. Really just a beautiful performance. And it's been so lovely, like, reading interviews about her experience making this and the way that she kind of talks about coming on board and, like, taking on this massive, quite overwhelming challenge with a director who's so established like Luca, and then also opposite Timothy, who's obviously, like, you know, done Luca's movies before and starred in lots of films before. And she really just, like, speaks about, like, the support network and, like, trying to relay everything that Maren was going through to, like, her own experience and how Leon is trying to, like, teach her about what he knows. And obviously Timothy had worked with Luca before, and for Taylor it was her first experience. So I think that they just really tried to emulate a lot of the real things that were happening in life and put it into this movie to make it an authentic performance, even though none of them have, to my knowledge, have the thirst for blood.
What I'm really interested to know is what she's like IRL. If she's got the same sensibilities and the same, like, tone of voice and everything, because I don't think I've seen a performance like this, which feels so, like, the way that I like would try and, it's like so understated without watching an actor try and do something understated. There's like a uniqueness to her which just feels like it must be part of her personality for it to be so detailed in that way.
Yeah.
And what's she like?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've never met her, but her interviews, she is so ethereal and so considered in what she says and so thoughtful and really just, like, so honest. But at the same time, like, just the way that, like, you receive her, she's just, like, a really, like, kind and sweet person. When you say honest, sometimes that can mean like also like a little rude or whatever, like say what you think, but it's not. She's just like honestly, uniquely a wonderful person. I'm going to paraphrase it because I didn't take down the actual quote, but Mark Rylance said, like, she's so captivating and she is so herself. Like, you see her soul come through on screen, and it's really just, there's a realness to what she does, and it's like honest and vulnerable. And so I think like what you see in this movie is really like what is happening like deep within her. And I think that it's just like a marvel to watch.
Mark Rylance, for me, I don't know whether it was me just sympathising with him as a person slash actor that I love, and that his stardom actually didn't help. But then we're saying that the character was good because he felt like a little bit safe and a little bit like warm.
Mm.
But for me, I think maybe it was the casting that I made me feel like he wasn't so like much of a threat. And I think it was something to do with his costume as well. It was a tiny bit over the top. And I don't know whether it was like felt a little bit like comedic sometimes. It wasn't, though. But I don't know whether I felt as scared as I should have felt.
Did you trust him?
I did. I went to and fro on what I thought. But then also like throughout, I didn't feel, I was unsure whether I was scared or not by any of these people, which maybe is what he meant. And there was only one moment where I was genuinely terrified, which maybe we should talk
which
about.
Which one?
Oh my God. When she's reading that letter from her mum.
Oh yeah.
And then her mum goes, I'm going to help you out. And then like goes to eat her. Oh!
I screamed. I did scream.
Because I didn't see it coming. And you know, like on a horror film, you can kind of sense when something's about to jump out. I completely did not see it coming. That was the scariest. That actually, I'd never been so got by anything in a film ever.
It's so interesting, isn't it? How, because if you really try and unpick why we had that reaction, you really feel like she's safety. And then also she's played by Chloe Savini and you're like... You know, like, I don't know, I just felt like it was all going to be okay. And like, she's really been pushing to get to this person. And I also thought that she had already eaten her. I was a bit confused when her mother was a
ghost.
I was a bit lost. But it's like, it's just, it's subtly done. It's not like her whole existence is like, I have to find my mother. It's not like spoken in that way. But you really think she's going to be fine. You think she's going to be okay. It was really, truly the most unexpected part of the whole movie. More so for me than her eating the finger. But I know that that was a bit shocking for you.
No, but I wasn't at, I was shocked when the finger happened. But with the mum, I was genuinely terrified. Then someone walked in the cinema and I was like...
Oh yeah, Warren actually wanted to go. To be fair, I thought that I wasn't scared, but Warren did want to go to the loo at one point, and I was like, no, because I was on my own in the cinema. It's the only jump scare, though. I think... Yeah. Right.
Well, I don't know. I also found, so when they are in the wooded area with the trailers, with the trucks, and they meet another eater who's played by Michael Stuhlbarg, but I actually don't know the character's name.
Jake.
And then the groupie. I found him running towards the truck to be terrifying.
That was the scariest part for me, for sure.
Oh, really? More so than the mum?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Defo.
That was scary.
Yeah.
I do just want to say, really interesting to see Timothy Chalamet not in the leading role, also not credited as such, even though, you know, they could have done that. He also produced the movie, which I think had good, probably made sure that that was the way it needed to be. What did you think of his performance?
I didn't know that he produced it. Like, producer credit.
Yeah, he's got a producer credit on it. It's the first thing that he produced. And I feel like it just helped get this movie made because it was sort of like just post-COVID and, had a lot of complications like in its like development or in its production. So I feel like him being probably just one of the biggest stars at the moment, coming in and doing this in a producing capacity gave him more skin in the game than it needing to be. You know what I mean?
Totally. And I think also this film, him being in it in this type of role brings an audience, like a big audience, because this is like girls who watch this fancy Timothée Chalamet because he looks great in this film. He's like the boyish dream in this film, apart from the fact that he eats human beings. But he looks like very like cool for like right now. Yeah. And I think that probably helps a lot. Like if it was just Taylor Russell.
You come for the marketability for Timothée Chalamet and then you stay for Taylor Russell. Mm-hmm. And like, well, like that, like, thank you for being an actor who would do that, like for the female lead, because there's so many male actors that would not take a secondary lead to a woman. That was actually something that Olivia Wilde talked about when she was trying to cast her movie, Don't Worry, Darling. So, yeah, I think that is, yeah, pretty special. That yeah. Yeah.
Seeing as we kind of touched on the last scenes
yes.
with Mark Rylance, can you tell me what happens at the end, please? Because, so let me just explain, because what happened was, we were in the cinema. Great. Everything is all happening, and it's the part where we realise that Lee, Timothée Chalamet's character, is going to die. And just as he's falling over, the sound went... and then was off. And I was like, wow, what a cool choice. Like, he's ending, he's come out of reality and, like, is silent. And, like, they're, like, talking to each other. I'm like, that's great. And then they just didn't come back on and we were like, oh. So what happens? What are they saying to each other?
He's saying, well, there's a really good song that comes on and then she's saying, I got to take you to the hospital. Did you get all that bit?
No.
I've got to take you to the hospital because we can't call the ambulance. Like, you're going to make it. Like, you have to. And he's going, no, I just need to lie here. And then he's saying, I want you to eat me. You're not going to get us found out. Like, I want you to eat me. And I want you to eat me.
Bones and all.
Bones and all.
And he's just like, do it. And then she, like, does start. I think she, like, starts by, like, just, like, sucking his blood from, like, the wound. And then I think she does start to eat him. And I think she does.
You have a couple of shots of then the room being empty and cleaned. And there is real silence. And that, I think, we would take, like, to believe that she did it. Yeah. She ate him, bones and all.
That's
and,
made me feel a bit sad.
Yeah. And then the music that's playing is saying, like, we made a home here once or something like mm-hmm. that. And then that's when it's got the image of this clean home that they did try to make a home in and that they didn't. And then there's the image of them too.
Yeah. And then them on the field. Right? That happened.
Yeah, then they're on the field. I guess that was just like a cutback to when they were happy.
Yeah. But that was the bit where she goes, I love you. And then Rupert whispered in my ear, bones and all.
which is why I thought, because you're like, how did you not know it's a film about like some kind of gore if it has bones and all, the title's bones and all? And I was like, well, I was thinking they were saying like, I love you, bones and all, which is a bit of a weird sentence, but I just thought that it was like edgy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I love you to your core. Type yeah. vibe.
But it was literal.
It was literal. Yeah. Bones and all.
Oh, I'm sad that that cut out, but it's been interesting to hear what happened from you.
We could just reenact it.
Right. Okay, go. Who's playing hell?
We can't. I know you had a bit of a different experience, but what feeling, like, if you had to, like, really put yourself back there, what did this film make you feel in those last few seconds? Or once the
credits
started rolling? What did you feel?
I actually thought that it was a love story. I think it absolutely is a love story. But I kind of forgot about all of the gore, despite just seeing Timothy be eaten. And I was just like, oh, that's really sad because they were in love. And it was more, I more was focused on that, which is a bit weird.
No,
it's funny because now that we've spoken about it, be like, what's the undertone to it? Is it about, like, outsiders? It did make me feel very sad for people who are lonely and can't find their place. And maybe just because I really liked her, Maren, mm-hmm. that I was thinking, like, what's she going to do? Like, she hasn't got a place anywhere. And just thinking, God, imagine how that must feel. But I left the cinema thinking that, but also just thinking I've just watched a film that I'm going to, like, rewatch and rewatch.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I really, really, really liked it.
Interesting. because when I came out, I was like, I don't know that I'll watch that again. Not because I didn't like it, but just because I'm like, okay, that's happened. Although now I'm thinking, now that we're discussing it more, and I am thinking about like that feeling of like, that just being a quite a lovely love story in the core of it, I'm like, maybe I do want to rewatch it.
What do you think?
Yeah, it made me feel like I almost could have had a little tear, actually. Like, I felt really sad at the end that they weren't going to be together. And I thought it was really beautiful love story, a really painful love story. And it kind of reminded me of this, of Blue Valentine.
Yeah.
Which is like such a painful film to watch, but I do just rewatch it. And I don't know why I do it to myself, but I just, everything that they could have been, everything that they lost, everything that they did and the things they regret. Like, I just, like, I love that. I love that as a genre. Yeah.
Same. Sometimes that pain is, like, really comforting. It's mm-hmm. it's so strange. Yeah. But I love that film and I will rewatch it, and I have to be in a specific mood. But, like, I just want to wallow. Yeah. And I love that.
Yeah.
So this is my, in the wallow pile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have a couple of fun facts before we go. Any guesses on the budget?
Ooh, not much. Two.
Oh.
2 to 3.
I was going to go like 10.
It was actually more than what I thought as well. It was 16 to 20.
Okay. Oh.
16 to 20.
Yeah.
Maybe Mark Rylance.
Oh, well, Mark Rylance, yeah.
Mark Rylance.
I actually think as well a lot of SFX, practical effects.
And it's a period piece.
Exactly.
So lots of cars. Like, true. All of the
I'm
outfits.
Way off. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's long.
It was actually, it was adapted, it was announced that it was going to be adapted in 2019. And it was going to be directed originally by Antonio Campos, who did The Devil All the Time and Christine and a number of other incredible indie movies. And then it just was announced in 2019 that actually it was going to be with Taylor Russell and Timothy Chalamet, and that Luca Guadagnino was going to do it. So funny how these things sort of switch around. But
what is Luca directed before?
Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, yeah,
Suspiria. And We Are Who We Are.
Oh,
for
HBO.
Yeah.
I like all those films.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great.
It's got a good track record.
All right. So, what are your final thoughts on this movie?
I really enjoyed this. It was completely not what I expected it to be. But had all like the really deep feelings that I had expected to be in it, actually. And the performances were absolutely amazing. I cannot wait to see more of Taylor Russell. Yeah. And it was just stunning the whole way through.
Stunning. I loved it. I think it's probably one of my favourite films that I've seen in the last year. Yep. I said that.
Bold statement.
Thank
Love
you.
It.
Yeah. And it's been really interesting to speak about what maybe the undertones might be. And I'm excited to watch it again and just add it to my sad time pile.
Yeah, me too, actually. I'm excited for it to come onto streaming so as I can watch it again and again. Mm. Yeah, I'm really glad that we could do this film. It was really interesting to chat about it. I did really love it. I really want to just like discover more about what it means. But I also just like that I can come and watch this whenever I want to watch a film about people eating people.
Yeah.
And I'm like okay with it just being that as well.
Yeah.
So.
And weirdly now I'm absolutely starving. So I don't know whether it's the conversation.
Oh my God, don't.
Watch out.
Some food. A bit of chicken.
Bit finger.
Brilliant. All right.
Thanks for picking it, Mace.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. Anytime.
Thanks so much for listening to that episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Next week, we're going to be talking about The Wonder, which was directed by Sebastian Lelio and stars Florence Pugh, Neve Alger. You can watch it on Netflix, and I strongly recommend that you do, because I think we're going to have really good chats. So have a watch and see you here next week for more Frank Film Club.
This podcast was presented by Wrapped.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.